puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
So where will we go today and what will we find? Gordon Goldsboro is always our guide on abandoned Manitoba. He knows more about anyone else in this province about the lost and abandoned places. Gordon's here. Welcome back.
Hi, Terry.
So last week, now you mentioned that we were going to a derelict castle connected to the founder of Neepawa?
Right. And it's literally called the castle. The people of Neepawa call a building we're going to see today the castle because it looks sort of castle-like. It's got a big round turret facing the main road, Main Street in Neepawa, and it's a very grand brick house.
And how did it come to be?
Well, it was built by a fellow named John Davidson. Mr. Davidson came to Manitoba from Ontario. He came in 1871, which of course is just after Manitoba had become a province, and he opened a store at Gladstone. And apparently about 10 years later, he decided that Gladstone wasn't in his future. He moved west and he founded the town of Neepawa. So he arguably could be said to be the father of Neepawa. He built a store, he built a hotel, a flour mill, a blacksmith shop, and he was very active in the community. In fact, in 1881, he was elected to the legislature. He was an MLA representing that area. And at the time of his death, which occurred in 1903, he was the provincial treasurer. So quite a prominent guy. In fact, when he died, they had a special train that went from Winnipeg to Neepawa for all the mourners that wanted to attend his funeral in Neepawa.
Tell us more about the castle.
Okay, well, of course, befitting a man of his stature, he, of course, had to have a fairly substantial house. So when the house was first built, it was built in the early 1880s. It was a wood frame structure, not a particularly imposing looking thing, but it underwent an expansion in 1901 that literally transformed it. In fact, you would be hard pressed to know that it had never been any different. You look at it today, it's covered in bricks, but this is a veneer of bricks that covers the original wood structure. And they're quite attractive. They also expanded the building itself so that at its height, it had 26 rooms, this house. It featured all kinds of decorative millwork. It had a grand curved staircase, plate rails. It had a pool room, a conservatory for plants. On the grounds around it, of course, it had an equally grand grounds, had tennis courts and bleachers for spectators. You know, again, this guy was a prominent fellow, so it followed that he would have a prominent house. But of course, he died not long after the renovations had occurred. And so in 1916, this house, the Davidson House, was bought by a businessman, a local fellow named William Gwynn. And in fact, he was a founder of a monument business that's, I think, still in business today, Gwynn and Simpson. They make a lot of funeral monuments or cemetery stones. He had an operation in Portage la Prairie. He also had one in Neepawa. He moved into the Davidson House and his family owned it for the next several decades. They didn't move out, in fact, until 1976, at which point the house, which of course was an enormous structure, probably for Neepawa, wasn't really suitable for a single family. So they divided it instead into a series of apartments. And it was used, therefore, almost, I think, into the 21st century. The town of Neepawa designated as a municipal heritage site in the year 2000.
And so what's it used for now?
Well, unfortunately, the years have not been kind to the Davidson House. I suspect that they deferred quite a bit of maintenance on it. So there was an inspection carried out earlier this year, and the inspector from Brandon apparently was told a friend of mine that it was one of the worst buildings he had ever seen. So almost immediately they condemned the building. They said that you could not go inside. In fact, no one is allowed inside, not even firefighters and emergency personnel is allowed inside. They feel it's just so dangerously compromised that, in fact, the only thing that they can say can be done is to demolish it. There was a whole bunch of problems found. There was, of course, extensive mold because of water that had infiltrated. Well, in fact, looking at it from outside, you can see enormous holes in the roof where water has come in. There were, of course, pigeons in. And, of course, as many listeners will recall, many of the abandoned buildings we visit are liberally festooned with pigeon poop. And apparently that's the case here too. There were lead pipes. There was asbestos insulation. You know, there was just no end of things. The floors were apparently soft, and when they stepped on them, it felt like they were prone to collapse. I was there not long ago, and there were literally bricks laying on the yard where they had fallen away from the building. So it looks like this building really does need to have something either very seriously done to stabilize it, Or I suspect more likely to tear it down altogether.
So we may not see this building much longer.
Not much longer. I've been told that, in fact, if they can get all the ducks in a row, that it may come down later this fall or early in the winter.
Mm. Just before you go, how did Davidson make enough money to be able to build this like 26-room house? What did he do?
Well, he, I guess, was one of these guys that got in early. As I said, he built a number of things in the town of Nipawawas. He had a store, a hotel, a flour mill.
Oh,
businessman,
okay.
Just, you know. Wealthy and got in at an early stage when the goings were good.
Where are you taking us next week?
Well, next week I think we're going to visit an abandoned jailhouse in a farmyard, but it was hardly necessary to have the jailhouse because prisoners rarely tried to escape.
Okay. All right, Gordon. Talk to you next week.
See you, Terry.
Thanks again.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.